cosmic conversation where subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic marsal veins, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Faith of our fathers, holy faith. I don't know when Bing Crosby recorded that wonderful hymn. It's a hymn that came out of Old English experience with respect to the people came to America, the people coming to America in the 1600s and 1700s. They had been oppressed by the state church, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, because it was essentially the English Catholic Church, a top-down sociopathic cult of Antichrist priests who believed that they had the authority under the king or the queen, who they had declared was the head of the church, to demand that people observe different kinds of religious and political edicts and commands. And when they didn't, they would do things like cut their nose off, slice their tongue in half, sometimes remove their tongue, sometimes burn them at the stake. So the reality is most Americans cannot relate to this kind of horror, this kind of persecution, because it was the state church filled with people who were demonized, possessed by religious spirits like the prophets of Baal, who didn't mind killing those who got in their way because they have a religion that uses the threat of death to demand that people submit. Just like modern day Talmudism and modern day Islam. So the reality is you won't find Talmudic Zionist people openly putting people to death. No, the Zionists though own and are CEOs and CFOs of all the major pharmaceutical corporations that have been murdering people by the tens of millions using their sorcery through the what I call government-sponsored suicide by lethal injection program or COVID-19 experimental vaccines. But essentially, there's nothing experimental about them. They knew exactly what they would do, and they're not vaccines. But what can you expect from people utterly identified with their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning? And when he lies, he speaks of himself and his children also, because the truth is not in them. My name is Michael J. This is The Road to Damascus. I'm your host today on the, 20-something, I forgot to change the date, the 22nd day of September in the year of our Lord, 2023. And someone told me today that this also seems to correspond with the first day of the Hebrew New Year. I'm not talking about the Jewish New Year. I'm talking about the Hebrew calendar with respect to, yes, Talmudic people that identify as God's people, but for the most part are not. They claim to be Jews, but are not. That was in identified by the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation in Chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, verse 9. These people have been identifying as God's people for, more than 2,000 years, but they are not God's people, because when the Lord visited the earth in the fullness of time, when the Lord Jesus was manifest, fulfilling many, many prophecies, born of a virgin, became the suffering servant, the Lamb of God. He was manifest as someone who healed, who raised the dead, who declared the kingdom of heaven, who fulfilled Isaiah chapter 61. And he actually was declaring and confessing that in the city he grew up in the town, the village of Nazareth, the people of Nazareth, when he didn't pass their religious test, they forced him out of the synagogue, carried him, essentially forcing him up to the brow of the hill where they wanted to cast him off the cliff. But it wasn't God's time. And so the Lord just manifested his glory and walked right through the midst of them. But they wanted to kill him because he didn't conform to their religious test. He didn't pass the fact checkers back then, because they had no idea who he was. And here's something where the Lord said to others concerning this same kind of unbelief. He said, you know, neither the scriptures nor the power of God. People can be very religious, but it does not mean they are walking with God. Saul of Damascus met the Lord with a close encounter of the King of Glory after that he had been crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended. He was on a mission from the Luciferians that controlled the temple under Herod. He was on a mission to Damascus to put Christians in chains and bring them back so that they could be renditioned, okay? And on his way to Damascus, the King of Glory appeared to him in a great light. And I believe probably his voice was very intense. It came from heaven. He was not like a heavenly voice. And this voice spoke out and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul of Tarsus fell on the ground in fear and trembling and said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus Christ, who you are persecuting. The reality is the religion of the day was filled with Talmudic, that is Babylonian Satanism, with the passed down Talmud, the oral traditions of devil worshipers and people who worshiped doctrines of demons. So Saul had a close encounter. He had a reality check, praise God. His name was changed. He had to be led into Damascus because he was blinded by the glory of the Lord. And he was told by the Lord, wait there, and I will send someone to pray for you, and he will restore your sight. And so he sent a man named Ananias, who prayed for Saul, laid hands on him. He received his eyesight, scales fell off his eyes. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like Luke talks about in the first and second chapter of the book of Acts. He began to pray in tongues. How do we know? Well, in Corinthians, Saul, who became Paul, said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And actually, that was the evidence that God gave us in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, where the Spirit of God came with a rushing, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues of fire appeared on the heads of all the disciples waiting there, 120, and they began to pray in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. But they weren't praying in their own language, but other people from around all of the creation came there and come there for the Feast of Pentecost, and they heard them praising God and shouting the praises of God in their own languages, but realized these people are Galileans. How come we can hear them praising God in our own language? Well, that's what God does, okay? He was the one that confounded the language of men, multiplied their languages. You can hear about this and read about it in the book of Genesis, where they were building the Tower of Babel, and it was called Babel because they had to leave off building it because they couldn't understand one another anymore. Well, the Lord then, in this time, he's restoring people to be able to hear a language that is not from earth. It's the language of heaven. It's the language of the truth that sets people free. And that's the only language, by the way, that will allow people to truly have one mind, be of one mind and one accord by the Spirit of God. My own testimony had similarities to that of Paul. God confronted me on the El Camino reality in Redwood City. Yeah, the El Camino of reality. That's what it was. God gave me a reality check on 7 October 1968, and he introduced me to himself. He gave me a glimpse of hell when I was praying about it, and then he showed me how that I could avoid that horrific and eternal loss of eternal darkness, a darkness he let me see in my spirit, which was darker than anything I could ever have imagined. And it reminds me now of the darkness that was one of the judgments on Egypt, where it was so dark that it made people sick. It terrified them. Well, that's what God allowed me to glimpse in my mind. And he brought me to himself, revealed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. God raised him from the dead. And I asked him into my heart that day. I confessed my sin and experienced him forgiving my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness, including my unbelief. As I had been angry with God for about 10 years and renounced faith in God, and God allowed it for his holy purposes. Only the sin that I accomplished against others injured me also, because God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So I've got a very interesting program today. We're going to be talking about God's sovereignty, but right now I want you to join me in praying the prayer that our Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praying for God's will is a prayer God will always answer. And what is happening in the earth today is the will of God. Yes, God is sovereign. There's nothing going on that God's sovereignty and God's glory and God's majesty and power has not allowed to occur. He allows the wicked to manifest their wickedness. He allows the righteous to offer their lives with praise and thanksgiving to the one who purchased them with his son's blood. He allows us to stand in the gap. He allows us to become his witnesses. He allows us to understand how to do spiritual warfare, how to contend with the souls of men, how to earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to us through the gospel. Now, God's people are taught that he is sovereign in all things and nothing happens in this world that his holy majesty is not allowing for his eternal and temporal purposes. Nothing can touch you that God does not allow. This is what the book of Job is based on. The book of Job is one of the most fascinating, one of the most highly intellectual books in the history of the earth. And if you've never listened to it on YouTube, I encourage you to use the King James Version. It's much more poetic and beautiful than other versions. Listening to the King James might seem like you're learning another language, but it is the foundation of English today. And it's not that hard. When I came to Christ, I devoured the King James Version. And for 2 years, I was being worked on by the Holy Ghost, because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and God was explaining his word to me, so that in the very same month, 2 years later, he was going to put me in multiple valleys in the shadow of death as an infantryman in Vietnam. Although he did allow me to drive a tank, because by the grace of God, it was in my heart. I had wanted to drive a tank since I was 10 years old in Newark, New Jersey, and I was on a boat ride with the Cub Scouts and went up the Hudson River to, what's the name of that place? That wonderful Army fort up there. It's the Army education system, the university that the Army uses to train up its officers. And for some reason, I think because I've been breathing too many chemtrails, I can't remember it. But the issue is, I went up there and they had this amazing place where the Boy Scout Jamboree, this huge, I realized it was the parade grounds. It had helicopters there. It had tanks there. It had medical stations. It has radios. It had all these Army people walking around in their Army fatigues and with guns and everything, and machine guns, and the Boy Scouts were there. You know, it's amazing that I imprinted on that like a duck imprinting on stuff because I didn't have a father. And I saw all these guys, and all of a sudden I said, wow, this looks like what a man is. So I wound up in Vietnam. This is part of my testimony. I'm confessing what God did for me. He let me be a tank driver. He let me be an OJT medic because we didn't have enough medics over there for our platoons and our companies. He let me be a radio man. Okay. He let me fly in helicopters all over the place. And the reality is God was doing this because he was answering what was in my heart. He knows his sheep. He knows us. And he knows the hairs on our head. He knew. And because I had been learning how to delight in the Lord, he gave me the desires of my heart. Although I didn't want to go to Vietnam. I had been running away from the draft for 4 years. So that by the time I got there, I was 22, where most people were 18, 19, maybe 20. I was 22. Emotionally, I was probably a 17-year-old, but I was physically 22. That confused a lot of people. But the issue is God met me. God ministered to me, and he brought me to himself. And he's been investing in me by sowing the incorruptible seed of the word of God in my heart, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So, people who have not entered into his spiritual kingdom, people who have not received eternal life through his gifts of faith in his son, Jesus Christ, they do not believe or perceive the kingdom of heaven. The title for today's fellowship and conversation is The Sovereignty of God. Now, I want to point some things out, but we're going to go into John chapter 3, because this is about this subject. This is about what God is trying to share with all people. I don't care what religion, what race, what nationality, what language. If God is giving you the grace to understand this in English, American English, and I'm going to read the King James Version, but I'm going to make some adjustments with some modern words to make it easier to understand. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, I'm going to start reading some very relevant scripture, because God used these scriptures to bring me to himself on 7 October 1968. And my life was changed forever. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, the word here is verily, but I'm going to use the modern word, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a manifestation of a priesthood that had religious authority and even political authority over all the people in Jerusalem, except for the Roman occupation. They didn't need to listen to these Hebrew teachers, these Pharisees or Sadducees. No, they didn't. Thank you, Brother West Point. I mean, how could I forget it? Well, I did. It was West Point that I saw all those helicopters and tanks and all these amazing things like mortars and artillery, praise God. But the issue is, God knew what was in my heart. So, back to this. So, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? This guy is in his natural mind. He has no understanding. He doesn't understand that the words that are being spoken to him are spiritual words. Why? Because he is not spiritual. He needs to be born again in order to be able to have ears that hear spiritual things. So can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus, I mean, what a ridiculous question. But Jesus didn't rebuke him for this. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Now look, everybody listening to this program and everybody out there that isn't listening to this program was born of the flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh, all of us. But people that have been brought into the kingdom, people that have been given a gift of faith in Jesus Christ, have been born again, as it is written, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I don't care if you've been in the church and been religious all your life. If you haven't been born again, if you're trusting in your obedience or the works that you do and the things you give to the poor and whatever, or the kindness you show to others, if you do not have Christ in your heart, if you don't believe that he is the Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you are not born again. But those of you that are born again, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, like God taught his disciples to wait upon God to receive, most people who do not have this cannot be the true, holy, powerful witnesses God calls you to be, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be witnesses unto God. We can be born again, but still not be filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, be filled with him, and the anointing comes upon us like it came upon John and Peter and Samson and whatever. I mean, people that are born again and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God is using some people I know personally who have prayed and God raised people from the dead. Hallelujah. It's happening today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, this verse seems mysterious when you first look at it, but the word for Spirit is pneuma. It's a wind. The Holy Spirit is the wind of God. And in another place, I believe it was in John, after Jesus was, I think it was after he was resurrected, but it could have been before, he spoke to his disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit of Christ came and see inside them because they breathed in what he was breathing out. He was God in the flesh, God incarnate. He no longer had blood inside himself if this was after the resurrection. But he was a dynamic, glorious, eternal being. So the wind blows where it wants and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone who was born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said, "Are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify of what we have seen." This is common knowledge that the wind comes in and blows from somewhere we don't know and blows somewhere we don't know. That the reality is so that people that are born of the Spirit are guided by the Spirit. We're no longer being guided in our own understanding. And so the Spirit of God works in us those things that are not of this world. Another verse that God used to bring me to himself and give me saving faith was in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I was a new creature. I was born again, not physically. Like Nicodemus was answering, thinking that he could be born again in the flesh. No, this is, I was born again in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. My inner man was quickened. I experienced a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Amen. So truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen, and you receive our witness. You receive not our witness. That's the end of chapter 3, verse 11. So here, verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So this stumps me. But the thing that makes a whole lot of sense to me is when Jesus Christ was manifest in the form of a man, when he visited Abraham, it was the Lord, because Jesus Christ was the visible image of the invisible God. When he was manifest before Moses, when he was manifest before Joshua outside the walls of Jericho and identified himself, as it was prophetically spoken later on in David's Psalm 24, the Lord of hosts, strong and mighty, the captain of the hosts of heaven. So that was what people call a spiritual epiphany, a pre-incarnate epiphany of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord would appear to Abraham. And was it the same the Lord Jesus who appeared to Adam and Eve in the garden? I mean, they were glorious. There was no reason why they couldn't see the Lord there. But after our race fell, the race of the first Adam, then we lost our ability to see spiritually and hear the voice of God and respond to his holy fragrance or have spiritual discernment about, you know, discerning where the life of God is being manifest in righteousness and righteous people, or the death of spiritual, the stench of death in people who are spiritually dead. That is one of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of discernment. So the reality is we get a new set of senses that are only kind of mirrored in our natural body, but our true senses are spiritual senses, because in Christ, when we're born again, what is being restored is the image of God is being restored in us, because originally we had that holy image. We were covered with glory. We didn't know we were naked. This is very important. We must be born again. Okay, so in verse 13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even here, he was talking about his crucifixion. When people look at the cross, the cross of Christ, even after he was off the cross, because he not only died on the cross and was buried, he was resurrected. He is not on the cross anymore. That's Roman Catholicism and Lucifer worship, because this present Pope said when Christ went to the cross and died, he failed in his mission. Why? Because he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh any more than the fake Jews believe that, or the Muslims. But the word of God says this in 1 John, who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, who has neither the Father nor the Son. The reality is denying the deity of Christ is the evidence of heretical unbelief. You must be born again by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's in Romans, I believe, chapter 10, could be chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A lot of people have been taught that Jesus Christ is just a big, cruel stick in the mud because he wants to kill everybody just because they're enjoying themselves. Well, they got it all wrong. They got it backwards. They're already dead in trespasses and sins. That's why they enjoy breaking the commandments of God. They're already dead. The Word of God says if Christ died for all, then all were dead. Hallelujah. That's why he's telling people, you must be born again. By the way, in your spirit, you will not enjoy sin. As it is written, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned. You see, that's the amazing grace. Why? Because believing on him, we're believing on the one who takes our sins away. Just believing on him gives you the grace to become a new creation, and he gives you the grace to confess your sin. And then the blood of Jesus Christ forgives you your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Your unbelief is taken away. Your fear, your shame, your self-hatred, your bitterness, your hatred of others, your unforgiveness, it's cleansed, washed away. You know, some people will say, well, I can never forgive them for what they've done. You need to read Romans chapter 1, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But you need to read Romans chapter 1 because all of us have the same nature in the first Adam. If it's in every, you know, wicked, murderous, sodomite, pedophile, criminal in the world, if it's in their heart, it's in our hearts also, because there's no good thing in us. By God's grace, we may have avoided some of those horrifying sins and known the depths of Satan like these people do, but it's still there because you're dead in sin and there's no good thing in you. You could be a very moral person, and hell is filled with moral people because they rejected God's Son. And by the way, the gospel is preached throughout the whole creation. God visits people in areas, in lands, in nations where preaching the gospel will cause people to be put to death. He visits the people there. The dreams and visions, he appears to them. See, Jesus Christ was and is to come. He is eternal. Okay? The issue is the Lord is the one, the only one who by his spirit brings people to himself. And spiritual things cannot be understood by people who have not been born again, who have not had their mind renewed by the living words of God. The Word of God says, with the washing of your mind by the water of the Word. Okay, the living Word of God takes away our unbelief and allows God to renew our minds so that we can be in agreement with him and enter into this gracious fellowship with the Father and with his Son, which happens on this program. People can be fellowshipping with God the Father because of our fellowship based on the agreement God gives us as the Word of God is manifest. The living words of God are manifest on this amazing grace of this program. And the Sunday program God gave me called the Reveille Program, a wake-up call on Studio A. 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Okay. 8 to 10 a.m. Central. And 9 to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise God. So here's what God is saying to Nicodemus. He that believes on him is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why does God say this? It seems rather arbitrary, but But let's point out, God is sovereign in the salvation of men. God is sovereign in all things that are going on in the creation. He is sovereign. He has done whatsoever pleases him. And it pleased God to give his Son as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when God allows us to preach this holy, loving gospel of salvation and his kingdom, he speaks truth into your hearts. But the word of God says, if you want to hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. If sin has hardened your heart and you'd rather go on sinning or in unbelief, you're rather continue to have the favor that you have with your so-called friends who you know would call you a religious fool or hypocrite or whatever and say to you, we know who you are. We know what you've done. If you rather listen to them or remain in the fear of being criticized by people in the world, you're going to miss out on eternal life, forgiveness for your sin, and having a glorious, holy, amazing, the gift of eternal life and be brought into the heavens to be with your friends and people you love, people who are Christians who have been born again. You will miss that forever. You'll drop down into eternal darkness, horror, filled with black flames and all kinds of other horrifying realities when you will receive in your body all the shame, all the sorrow, all the grieving, all the anger, all the hatred that you sowed into the lives of other people. That will be manifest in you, in that eternal soul that rejected God's gift of eternal life with a gift of faith in Jesus Christ. Here, and this is the condemnation. Let me back up. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm going to point something out to you. He came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked him into my heart, and he caused me to be born again. He cleansed me from my sin and unbelief, and he's been working in my life, revealing to me his glory, his mercies, his the blessings of God that make rich and add no sorrow with it. He has been changing me from glory to glory and conforming me to the image of his Son by his wonderful grace. The next verse. And this is the condemnation, John chapter 3, verse 19, that the light is come into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If people don't want to, you know, be forgiven and cleansed from their sin, if they're so invested in demonic lust and unbelief and the love of money or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they've got fastest cars, the fastest women, the fastest speedboats, the fastest jets, whatever. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But the word of God makes it very clear what is at risk. The Lord Jesus, my Savior, said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? We see the devils. We see the Fauci's and the Gates and the Soros and the Schwabs, and these other sociopaths who play the whore and are treasonous, God-hating destroyers of life. Every single person who's not speaking out against the wickedness going on in this nation, if they're in positions of government, they're guilty of misprison of treason, misprison of felony. They're guilty of going along with the sins of genocide against tens of millions of Americans. If they are not exposing it, they are complicit. They're a partaker of the sins of other people. They're not obeying God. They're not laying down their lives for others. And they have their treasure in this life. What is that? At least, you know, I know if I tell the truth, they're going to kill me. So they're holding on to this life, where the word of God says, he that seeks to save his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. In Jesus' name, I'm talking to all the intel agencies that use the internet and this program as a information vacuum, because they know who's listening. Praise God. They understand the internet. They've got everything nailed down with their Internet of Things and their total surveillance society. They know who's listening to Michael J. But hey, I want them to have enough evidence that I am a man of God and that Jesus Christ is offering them repentance and forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and deliverance from eternal evil. Remember, the Lord made all things, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. If they want to continue in their wickedness and their hatred for innocent people, well, here's what the Word of God says. Let the righteous be more righteous, and let the wicked be more wicked. The Word of God says, choose you this day who you will serve. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, even believing on his name, you will be saved. But you need to confess Christ to somebody. You need to get baptized in the water. Ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You need to get away from your ungodly friends who will pull you back down into their wickedness, because the Word of God says, immoral company corrupts morals. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If you want to see your friends enjoy their drunkenness, their sorcery, their fornication, and whatever, if you're going to rejoice in that with them, you will become like them again. Why? Well, God could slam dunk you. God could do something terrible to rebuke your lifestyle. He could cause you to have some kind of encounter, some kind of hard encounter with reality, where the life you knew will end. But if he preserves your right, the Word of God says, where there is life, there is hope. God allowed me, when I was with a woman I shouldn't have been with, he allowed me to break my back in a parachuting accident. And I'm shorter now, praise God. He healed my back. But I had a close encounter with reality, and I could sense God saying to me, can you hear me now? Put me on my back with a back brace. But he had mercy on me. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. It's hatred. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Reproved means shining a light on them. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. Read a couple of more verses to you before we go on to the next subject. The reality is this. People were created by God for his holy and eternal purposes. If people reject the one who said, I am the door, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. If people reject this and they can't hear his voice, well, the Word of God makes it clear. Nobody can come to Christ if the Spirit of God is not drawing them. If you know people like this, pray for them. Why? Well, because somebody prayed for me. I wasn't seeking God when I was in sin and dysfunction and anger and self-hatred and shame and sorcery. And essentially, I was a burned out hippie acid freak running away from the draft. And God intercepted me as I was racing towards eternal destruction. Somebody prayed for me. And I persuaded it was people that I had injured. God is merciful and gracious, but I carry around that holy reality of what God did in not allowing me to be destroyed. And here's the Word of God to people who are considering, who are coming to Christ. The Word of God says, count the cost. Okay, count the cost. You need to call on God and say, Lord, I don't know if you're there, but I need your help. If you're calling me to yourself, if you are giving me opportunities to call out on your name, I don't know who you are. I don't know how to believe in your son. But if you're there, please have mercy on me and let me know and help me for Jesus' sake. Help me because of your goodness, if you really are that good. I've heard multiple testimonies of people praying that prayer, and God answered that prayer. But the word of God says, if you turn away, it would be worse for you than if you had never believed. The word of God says, those who continue to the end, who endure to the end, shall be saved. You need to be as serious as there is a hell and there is a heaven. And the whole reality of God's creation is there are two destinations. One is heaven for his children who receive his gift of eternal life, who the Lord restores their souls and, you know, brings them into conformity to his holy purposes, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear not, just, you know, you don't want to displease God, and if you fear eternal judgment, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Say it, Lord Jesus, if you're real, please have mercy on me for your goodness sake. I'm telling you, John the Baptist spoke in the presence of other people and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He took away your sins, my friend, because he took away my sins, and he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he'd do it for anybody. Here's a verse in Proverbs. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God today is separating his sheep, his flock, his little flock, from the Baphomet goat children. And by the way, he does that by causing the Baphomet goat children to reject you and walk away. Our heart is to call on the name of the Lord and ask God to save these people, because they don't know what they're doing. They're headed for hell. They're racing towards eternity. And they don't even know what they're stumbling over. Some of the last words of the living God on the cross was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He sanctified that prayer so that I could pray that for people in all the earth. Lord, have mercy on all the people in sin and unbelief in all the earth. Let your will be done, because you know those that you have ordained from before the foundation of the world to receive salvation through faith in Christ our Savior. Yes, there are vessels of wrath that God is allowing to be prepared for destruction. But if you don't want to be that vessel of wrath and you have a sense of the fear of God, because God somehow is getting through to your hard heart, call on his name for Jesus' sake, because he paid for your sin. There's another verse. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't hang out with people who don't know the truth and who don't care about the truth and who do not believe in God. Don't hang around with people like that. Let God fill you with his spirit. If he wants you to go back and share Christ with them, amen. But the issue is, we're not talking about turning away from people who are in sin. We're talking about when God gives you the grace to go back and they see that your life has changed and you're not partying anymore. Something has happened to you. And you tell him, I have been forgiven for all my sin, my sorcery, my fornication, my lust, my unbelief, my covetousness, my stealing, my lying, my blasphemy. That's what God does. I'm speaking from personal experience. Here's another thing about God warning people about certain kinds of women. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. You're reduced to that. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. What precious life? The spiritual life that's in a man. And when he sins with a woman, a part of him is taken away because you become one flesh with that whore woman. That part, she takes it away. That's the precious life that God wanted you to impart to a godly woman so he could have a godly seed from a marriage. If you join yourself with a whorish woman, you have been adulterated. You have been lessened. That's what the word adulterate means, to lessen. It's sort of like pouring toxic water into good wine. You've been adulterated by sin. Verse 27, I forget which proverb this is. Can a man take fire, I think it's Proverb 6, in his bosom? And his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? We're not talking about demonized people who know how to walk on hot coals. So he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her, shall not be innocent. God knows what he's doing. This is why he condemned the angels, by the way. Because they joined themselves. They joined themselves with the daughters of men and were adulterated. We'll be right back.
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Praise God. This is Michael J., the second hour of The Road to Damascus. Praise God. I'm going to ask people who know me, who are listening, to call in right now. I want to talk with you before I get into the giving machine, before I get into disruptive technology, before I start sharing a design God gave me for a generator that doesn't need anything except what's on it already. It can be dropped into a jungle. It can be, you know, driven into, some place in the middle of Africa, put in place, turned on. And when this thing starts, it's totally green. It's not a perpetual motion machine. Thank you very much. It's much more disruptive than that. Okay. The design that God gave me does lots of things. It has spiritual principles in it. And the faster it moves, the faster you get it going, the less energy it needs to keep it going, because God gave us two amazing manifestations of physics. One is the electromagnetic field. We didn't do anything to create it. Yes, we can duplicate it. The whole earth is covered in electromagnetic field. It's part of the, you know, and anything we use to promote it, create it, enhance it, or whatever, like running magnets through a coil or running coils around a magnetic field that creates current. Anything we do, you know, we quote discovered it, but hey, who created it? Okay. Who created this whole dynamic system where you can discover things that were there before you discovered them? Hallelujah. So God gave us the electromagnetic field, and he gave us something called inertia. Mass times velocity equals inertia. What is at rest tends to stay at rest. What is in motion tends to stay in motion. Is that my brother John? Are you on the phone right now with Michael J?
I am, thank God.
Ah, this is my big surprise look, praise God. What's up, John?
It is.
I'm glad you called.
Well, you know, I am too, you know, because I was calling in to see if anyone had any new conspiracy theories, because all of the ones that I know of have come true.
Well, you know, they're working on some kind of pulse thing that happens on sometime soon in October, you know, October 4th or something, and they're going to send out this, you know, amazing pulse to everybody's, some kind of warning in everybody's, you know, phone.
I
it reminds
that.
Me of a terribly immoral film called The King's Men, where they were using phones to pulse a frequency that allowed people that were already changed by something that was in them, like graphene oxide or whatever, to turn them into essentially murderous zombies. So the issue is there's all sorts of conspiracy theories, but hey, these people have been using, you know, technology to turn people into assassins for many years. And even, you know, they were creating assassins in the past, I'm sure. But that's my take on it. If you've heard of any new ones, please let me know. No?
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I was just wanting to also touch base on talk about BBB, the Build Back Better. You know, well,
was that Build Back Better? Build Back Better. What? Build Back Better. Anything that's wicked. They're doing that. They're building back better. Something that is adulterated. Something that's injured. Are we seeing
correct.
America get better, John? Please, you have the floor.
Well, I would like to just explain what I mean by that. And the Build Back Better program is just what it means, to build back better. But you can't build back better until it's basically burnt down,
destroyed.
And they they started with Hawaii. And we are all next, and it has to look natural that way.
They started in Santa Rosa, California.
They started in
Paradise, California, and in other places. They've been using lasers to create forest fires and to create hurricanes and typhoons. They've been destroying us from every venue, John. But you're right. Their hand. Yeah.
And it goes back even further than that. You know, they built the Reichstag down and blamed it on their enemies. They burnt our own White House down and rebuilt it on land that don't belong to the United States, and even had the audacity to name the street that it's on, Pennsylvania Avenue, which is not even in Pennsylvania. How crazy is that? I mean, these people love to burn things down.
Right, and they turned Washington, D.C. into a template in the shape of a pentagram. Right.
Yeah, they did.
With the mouth of Baphomet. Right on the place where the White House is today. That's because of Freemasonic, Luciferian, Antichrist, Satan worshipers who love death. And many of them, because that was hundreds of years ago, they're enjoying eternal death right now. Keep going, John.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just wanted to, if you could just clarify with myself, so we can have confirmation that hell does exist right now at this very moment.
It really does. Now, who is the Son of God, John? I'm firing fast. Who is the Son of God?
His name is Jesus Christ.
That's right. And did Jesus tell the story of the rich man and Lazarus?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Is Jesus Christ the incarnated truth?
Yes, he is.
That means he never lied. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And for people who know that Jesus Christ is Lord, as you do, you know that he revealed hell. But hell was revealed many times in the Old Testament. John, I appreciate your call. I've got Chris on the phone. You can stay on
absolutely
for a while longer. But let me talk.
I would,
from
but we'll call
Chris
later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you later, man.
Goodbye.
Hey, Chris, what's on? What's up, brother?
Oh, I got a couple real good conspiracy theories real quick. Number one it's coming straight from North Country, New York. Jesus has two armies, one in heaven and one on earth. And his job is, his goal, his battle is to save souls.
Please explain that. I mean, I'm part of Jesus' army. He's my commander in chief, but I don't live in Northern New York. So what's going on up there?
Well, Dean Braxton recently visited. He was clinically dead for 1 hour and 45 minutes, and he went straight to heaven, participated and worshiped God. And Jesus told him three times, it's not your time, go back. And Jesus was filled with love. And everything he saw in his journey, he has traveled all over the world now. This was back around 2006, and he was a Christian then.
Praise God.
To confirm almost everything, basically everything he saw in the time that had no time while he was in heaven. It was absolutely incredible. And these beings that he calls beings, because they're being what God made them to do, they approach Jesus in reverence and they bow to him and they stand around him. And Jesus communicates to them without using his lips. And he, for example, he points to the ground and a city will rise up. And then he will point to all of the places in the city, giving his battle instructions and to save souls. And then they all receive their instructions. They bow and back away slowly in reverence.
Okay, John, Chris, what is a link to be able to find out the information you have just been sharing to us? How can we link to this information ourselves?
He has some of his books on the internet, but I would direct you first to YouTube and just type in his name, Dean Braxton, D like dog, D-E-A-N, Braxton, B like boy, B-R-A-X-T-O-N, Dean Braxton.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Dean Braxton.
Braxtonpress.com. Sorry.
Chris, how are you in Christ? I heard the Lord's doing good things and wonderful things in your life. Hallelujah. Sounds like the Lord.
Absolutely. Yep. We were at a Bible study last night. Actually, it's called Life Group, and they luckily changed it to a Thursday, so I was able to go, and that was wonderful. And we're going to be having two baptisms at Sunday. This church in the tub in front of the in back of the altar. Two baptisms.
Amen. Amen. God is good. But, you know, he draws all of us closer. That's right. And he restores my soul. Since you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, has God shown you some amazing things?
God is incredible. God has been so merciful. God has spared me from so many consequences that I earned. Every sin is punished, and God is keeping me alive and showing me what I got to do and putting people in my path. And we celebrated the 236th signing of the anniversary of the United States Constitution at the State House on Saturday, just about a dozen or so of us, but we read parts of the Constitution and had lunch after.
Amen. We need to love the country God gave us and continue to call this nation and the people to repentance, because there's so much evidence of God's judgment on a nation that has forgotten God. Chris, thank you for calling in and confessing Christ. I appreciate you, brother. And call again soon, okay, man? Take care.
And while we were at the State House, we also prayed a whole bunch, too. So,
amen. Yep. That's what God calls us to do. He is at work in us, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he tells us, you know, pray for my will in the lives of all the people in all the earth. And God will do what he's going to do. Amen.
Press into the Father and just keep pressing in and only look to serve his will and how we can love one another like Jesus taught us. Everything Jesus taught us. Praise
Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you, man. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Right, Chris. Bye-bye. Now we're going to talk about a design that God gave me. I call it the giving machine. But before I called it the giving machine, I called it the harnessed inertia, high output, wheels within wheels, infinity motor, or the hi-ho W3 IM. The IM stands for infinity motor. The issue for me is God gave me this design more than 20 years ago because I sought God in prayer. I sought God in prayer because I realized that the industry of energy generation, the oil companies, the electric companies, the nuclear companies, the coal fire companies, the people that were producing gasoline and fueling all these vehicles and airplanes and jets and whatever, these people had a monopoly and they could raise the price of fuel anytime they want. When I got back from Vietnam, a gallon of gasoline in America was 25 cents out here in California, 25 cents. They created a fuel shortage up there in Alaska in order to accommodate what was really going on in the debasement of our currency. They had to allow fuel to come up to the debasement that is the adulteration of our currency that's called what? Inflation. It's just another form of stealth theft, okay? And theft is a manifestation of their covetousness and their lawlessness. Now, these things happened in the 70s because in the 70s, in the 60s, rather, we removed the Bible out of the schools. We removed prayer out of the schools. So in the 70s, the spiritual and social and political adulteration of America had already begun. And so then we legalized child sacrifice and called it a woman's choice. So the issue for us is we're under judgment as a nation because originally this was the richest nation in the world. But now it's a nation that's being turned into consumers. That is, the consumers, their plan is to shuffle people into their smart cities, into their 15-minute cities, and put us into an electronic digital prison where we will be managed as what? As chattel assets of the corporate mindset being designed and managed by AI programs, what? Created by sociopathic monsters who identify as people, but they're really not. They're demonized, vicious, antichrist murderers, and they do the work of their father, the devil. So I began to look into alternative designs for a machine that would harness, because I know God was leading me. I was praying a lot. I prayed about everything. He let me make many, many drawings, praying about it, worshiping, giving thanks. He was blessing me and calling me in many, many areas in my life. But what's really important was I saw that a device that could be given to poor people where they have no plans, I'm talking about the utilities and the reality of people who make money off of putting infrastructure in, but who are also revealing to us that their plan is to get rid of billions of people they call useless eaters. Their plan is to get rid of as many of them as they can, destroy their ability culturally, financially, through what? Through war, through injections, through famines, through reducing their ability to use technology. They had at this same era, they had made the use of Freon illegal because they couldn't afford to have people have something where the patent ran out so that people could have refrigeration out from under a patent. So they created another fluorocarbon for refrigeration, for freezers, for AC, the whole thing. So the issue for me is this. I've begun to understand at this time, in late 1990s, I was beginning to do a number of broadcasts. And what happened was I realized God was showing me that this nation, which had sent me to Vietnam, he had been showing me this in the early 80s, that this nation was a cult of liars, mass murderers, and traitors. We're talking about the people running the nation. Okay, I grew up when we had prayer and Bible in the schools. I grew up listening to the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm over the loudspeakers in the classrooms. I grew up with that. By the grace of God, every time I went into an LZ in the middle of the jungle flying in the 23rd Division AmeriCal Air Mobile Light Infantry Brigades, I was in three of their units. The issue is, I would say the 23rd Psalm. I was headed into a jungle LZ, a jungle landing zone, because we didn't know who could be waiting for us there. You can hear a Huey helicopter with their whoop, 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 whoop for miles away. We didn't know who was going to be waiting for us there. So I would say the 23rd Psalm. And God gave me peace. gave me grace. He encouraged me. He gave me courage to trust him and not be afraid. Didn't mean I wasn't afraid, but even though I was afraid, I could handle it with the help of faith in God, my Savior. So he told me, he showed me how to ask certain questions. And so I was asking, how can I get something to keep moving without, you know, and not, you know, I wanted to get a patent for something, you know, and not be subject to having it called a perpetual motion machine. And the Lord showed me how to do this. He let me see that there are things like the electrical field and the law of inertia that he would show me. And I went through all these amazing, amazing discussions and prayers with God and drawing things and listening to the Holy Spirit until finally he showed me the harnessed inertia, high output wheels within wheels, infinity motor. He showed me how to do it. And when I saw it, when it all came together, I was driving a car on a road called Route 37 on the way to a city named Petaluma. And he showed me how it worked in my spirit. And I exploded, screaming with laughter and shouting in the car. I was amazed because God opened my mind and allowed me to see what he was giving me. And he let me years later, because I was continuing to try to find people who would finance the creation of a prototype. But I couldn't find anybody because this is so simple. It is such a wonderfully simple design. I had to come to the conclusion they had this, quote, they, the power companies and whatever, because this is so simple. Tesla takes, you know, real design and electrical engineering many orders of magnitude above this. And yet he was using some of the same things. That is, there is inertia in generators. There is inertia and electrical fields. Tesla was Mr. Electrical Field. So the issue is, I found out how to harness inertia in two directions at the same time. And I'm going to post some of these designs, maybe all of them, on my page on Fascist Book, praise God, because the Lord showed me, I want you to give it away. People that try to get a patent, they refuse to give a patent for anything that they say even smells like a perpetual motion machine. This is not one of these things. I'm not trying to get something out of nothing. This needs to be energized in the first stages. But like I said, God, the joy of God has just amazed me over the years now. Once this thing gets going, it requires less energy to keep it going because it uses two different flywheels going in opposite directions at the same time. So the Lord let me harness inertia. And I'm going to tell you some of the amazing spiritual principles in this machine. One, all power belongs to God. Two, two is better than one. Three, what you give, you will receive. Four, what you sow, you will reap. Five, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, when Solomon said two is better than one, he was talking about because if a man fall, he has somebody to lift him up. Or you have a reward in the work you're doing. You have, you know, a shared joy with others. Two is better than one. Okay? The reality is a man requires a woman to have a godly seed. Two is better than one. Praise God. And the first commandment in the Bible, it's in Genesis, is be fruitful and multiply. God even spoke that to all of his creatures. Be fruitful and multiply. But the death cult wants to murder as many of God's children as they can, because for them, the word of God reveals that those who hate the wisdom of God, and Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, love death. So this death cult is sowing death into their eternity, you know, and they're going to have to reap it all throughout eternity. in infinite darkness and horrific and unimaginable, immeasurable torments and horror, because the image of God in us, that holy matrix that God glorifies in Christ, it is cursed, but the matrix is still there. Our soul is still there, even in death. These people are dead in trespasses and sins, yet they're animated. They don't have eternal life, but their soul is made out of eternal stuff. So they're filling their cup with horrific, unending, immeasurable evil and torments because of what they do against others. They will have to receive in their own spiritual bodies forever. When are they going to get their spiritual bodies? Well, their soul is in hell. There is a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and the wicked will get their bodies back, just like the righteous will. But the righteous will be on God's right hand. He will have said to God's, his children, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Because the Lord went before us to prepare places for us among the mansions of the Father's house. But the wicked, they're going to stand before God, before the whole creation, before all the angels, they're going to stand and be judged as vessels of wrath. And God is going to allow them to hear the whole sentence that they will reap throughout eternity. So anyway, God told me to call this the giving machine. I was looking for people that would be willing to partner with me and make it, a template, make a prototype, but I couldn't find anybody, because when you look at this, it just looks too simple. But it is so simple because it's God's design, and it is because in its simplicity and because of its functionality, it is profoundly elegant. Hallelujah. I mean, this is not rocket surgery. When you see how this works, it will blow your mind. People will say things like, well, of course it'll work. But it's been hidden from us. Why? Well, because they knew about this design, I'm persuaded, hundreds of years ago. Look at the technology that came out using flywheels. Like what? Steam engines. Big engines. Steam engines that run manufacturing things. Lace mills. Cotton mills. Anything that uses power and uses belts and whatever to run all these machines, giant looms, all sorts of manufacturing machines with drill presses and whatever, they used flywheels. And they used a belt tensioner to expand that belt a little bit and transfer energy from that huge flywheel to their machinery. That's right. They knew about this technology years ago, but what did they do if they saw this amazing design that God gave me? I can't prove it, but as far as I can see, any design that did not allow them to maintain control through their utility companies, through having a meter on it, they did not want it, and they buried it. The reality is, I want to give this away. I'm going to give it away because the Lord told me, Michael, if they can't pay for this, I'm not requiring anything. It's a gift. God gave it to me, and he's telling me to give it away. If there's nothing coming back from people, you know, like if they don't want my help in setting up their own company, that's fine. If they don't want to pay me, that's fine. If they don't want to acknowledge where they got it from, that's fine. You give it away. And I've been learning lessons about that because, you know, I feel a little bit of proprietary pride here. God have mercy on me and cleanse me because God gave me this design in answer to prayer. And who inspired me to prayer? He did. He told me, love your neighbor as yourself. I want this design to go into the middle of the jungle or in the middle of Africa where they can set it up and have enough power to not only dig a well, but purify the water, pump the water out of the well. They can have enough power with multiple generators to cut wood in a lumber mill, okay? To put fences around their villages where there's a lower chicken wire fence so that snakes, you know, cobras, whatever, who want to come into your village can stick out their tongue and get a real charge. or big cats, if you put electrical current up on the top of a fence where the big cats wanted to come in, they will have a close encounter with, current that says, you don't want to do this. And besides that, I saw multiple, those purple lights, ultraviolet bug lights around all these places where they have bugs like the tsetse fly and malaria mosquitoes and all these other things, where they fly into it and go zap, because this will provide energy and they don't need any infrastructure bringing the energy out from the big cities. They will be totally energy independent. This is a green machine, by the way. It's a green machine. That's what I used to call the Army. It's a green machine promoting totally energy independence. And here's my tongue-in-cheek meme for the day. Who could be against it, right? Totally green energy independence. Who could be against it? Who are the people that have been murdering people that started, operating cars on water, on hydrogen? Who are the people that showed how to do this, that have been murdering people, cutting them off, destroying them, stealing their designs because they whore themselves for their masters who find total lustful satisfaction in maintaining their monopoly so they can make money off of everyone. And they love money more than God, so they do not seek to bless their neighbors, give of themselves, remember the poor. Why? Because they are dead in trespasses and sins. Don't worry, I don't take an offering on this program. Anybody wants to help me, they can find out how to do it by asking God, how can I help Michael J. to do what it is you're calling him to do? You ask God about it, he'll tell you. So the Hi-Ho W3, I'm going to give you a word picture so you'll understand how it works. Now, remember, I said two is better than one. Two is better than one. I'm giving you a very simplistic understanding right now. Something I call field expedience, and I learned that term in the military. Field expedient, want to know what a field expedient booby trap is? A hole in the ground filled with punchy stakes, super sharp bamboo that will go right through the bottom of your jungle boot, pierce up into your ankles, into the side of your legs, and they urinated and defecated on these punchy stakes in order to cripple men with infection and require two or three men, maybe four, to carry him. Okay, that's a field expedient booby trap, unlike, a grenade or a whole bunch of grenades in the inside of an expended light anti-tank weapon. I forget the designation, but they would expend these rockets and you'd have left this aluminum, excuse me, it wasn't aluminum, it was a fiberglass tube. And we found out that what they did was they grabbed a whole bunch of, they stole them from the South Vietnamese Army, or the Arvins gave it to them. And they would grab a whole bunch of baseball grenades, tie this tube to a tree, close the bottom with a pin, which was the thing you'd have to open before you were going to fire it. It had this cover that went over on a hinge. Close the bottom with a pin and attach the pin to a wire, a trip wire, going across the path. And so they would put this thing up in the tree next to the path, and they would load five or six grenades. I forget how many you could put in there. By first pulling the pin and sliding the grenade top down with the fuse thing down, but the pin would be held in place by the shape, by the cylindrical shape of the light anti-tank weapon, the law. Okay, so you could put five or six grenades in there with the pin already pulled, but the spoon held hard against the outside. So once a tripwire is tripped on the path, the bottom would open up and these five grenades would roll out from the bottom, just drop out and start rolling. And what they did to ensure a good kill was a fuse normally is effective between 2.5 and 4 seconds long. So what they would do is they would cut the fuse in half and make it 1.5 seconds. And these things would drop out and all of them would explode one right after the other. And the kill ratio for these grenades, baseball grenades, was 5 meters and the wound ratio was 15 meters. So this was a field expedient booby trap set up because they would use what they had. So this field expedient design I have, and I just have to share these things with you to show you the reality of what God delivered me from again and again in the field. So you need to build a frame. The frame is going to hold an axle. So it's, you know, a picture, a big square frame. In the middle of the frame is an axle that's held up by horizontal and vertical tubes with a really good, you know, attachment. It doesn't have to have bearings with this axle going through the frame, okay? The axle needs to be really strong, okay? Why? Because in a field expedient giving machine, you've got two truck tires that are balanced and weigh the same and that are filled with the exact same amount of water. So I want you to consider that this water is going to weigh in these truck tires. The tire itself filled with water has got really good bearings that allow it to rest on this axle so that it can turn. Okay. And there's a separation between these two tires because they're going to be going in opposite directions, okay? So what happens is you put these truck tires on there. Let's say they're 300 pounds apiece. We're going to be talking about mass times velocity equals inertia, okay? So you got these two truck tires on this axle. They're next to one another, but they're separated. Close together, but they're separated. Then on the outside of each truck tire, you've got a big disc. So this frame has got to accommodate not only the height of the truck tire and the width of two of them, but it's got to accommodate the another thing that I call the momentum disc, the momentum enhancement disc. And this disc goes on the outside, though you could put it on the inside. There's different designs. Goes on the outside of the tire, but it exceeds the height of the tire by maybe 2.5 feet. So the disc itself, from side to side, the diameter is 5 feet, whereas the tires itself are maybe 3 feet. Now, it could be bigger. I want to see a prototype so we can, you know, do whatever is necessary to measure, you know, the enhancements or whatever that come from having a motivating disc larger or smaller. Okay. So at the top of these motivating discs, you have two frisbees where something comes together because you've got the truck tire, and it would probably be easier if I had these discs on the inside, you know, of the tire and attached to the frame of the tire. Okay. Because these discs are attached to these tires. And when you motivate one disc in one direction, you motivate the other disc and tire in the other direction. So let's say there's a space between these discs, all around, a space of about 2 inches. Then you have electric motors with a shaft going between these discs where the space is 2 inches, and you put a wheel in there attached to the shaft on these electric motors, and the wheel is hard pressed against all of these discs. And you've got, say, 4 or 5 of these electric motors coming in at an angle, going down, so their wheels on the shaft from these motors is between these discs, and all of them go in the right direction, okay? Now, please understand, this is so simple, it's amazing. When the wheel inside those shafts turns, the wheel is at a right angle to those, and it's pressing against those discs. When it turns and it's going clockwise, the disc on the right is going to turn down, and the disc on the left is going to turn up because the wheel is going around. So what did we do? We gave motivating power by turning on these five electric motors, and they could be on a rheostat and whatever, so that not only can you shut them down through a switching operation, you can shut them down or turn them all on at the same time. We've got a rheostat turning five motors turning on, and it could probably be DC motors because that's another subject. But in any case, what you do is you're motivating these wheels on the outside of that motivating disc, on the inside rather, you're motivating these discs to go in opposite directions. Now on the axle, on the outside of these tires, you've got a sprocket. I don't care if it's a sprocket. I don't care if it's a pulley wheel, but it's on the outside. Now those sprockets on the right side, it goes one direction. On the left side, it goes another. So then on the outer side of these frames, you have a generator. And the generator is lined up with the sprockets. It's big enough, or its shafts are big enough. It's big enough so that you have the ability to put a sprocket on that generator, one sprocket attached to the rotor shaft and the other sprocket attached to the stator housing, because you're going to turn that generator in two directions at the same time. Now, the generator weighs 200 pounds. It's a good size generator. And when you start turning that generator, the rotor shaft going one direction to the rotor flywheel, and the stator housing disc and sprocket is turning the other direction with the stator housing going to the stator housing, what? Flywheel. Let's get those electric motors moving at 1,000 RPMs. The right-hand rotor shaft flywheel is going 1,000 RPMs. Now, what is a dependent circumstance here is whether or not the discs are the same size, or whether or not one disc is smaller and the other disc is larger. And that ratio, like, you know, in a 21 speed, you've got small sprockets and large sprockets, right? So what happens when you get all those motors going at 1,000 RPM? They're not really doing anything because you have a belt tensioner on the belts. The two different belts or chains Kevlar Harley Davidson sprocket belts for, you know, driving their rear wheel, whatever. But you have to have a chain tensioner that will, you know, that will allow you to turn these things on to increase the tension. So all of a sudden, when these flywheels are 1,000 RPMs each, the relative speed of those two flywheels is 2,000 RPM because they're going in opposite directions. Now, remember, 600 pounds of water-filled truck tire, because there's two 300-pound wheels there, creates a whole lot of torque at 2,000 RPMs. And you got to ask yourself, if you've got the rotor shaft going 1,000 RPM and you got the stator housing going in the opposite direction with a pulley turning it at 1,000 RPM, then the inside of that generator is also going 2,000 RPM, but it's a 200-pound generator. So now instead of 600 pounds going in opposite direction, remember, mass times velocity equals torque and inertia and momentum. Now you've got 800 pounds going relative speed of 2,000 RPM. On the inside of that generator, do you think you have enough energy to generate a whole lot of energy? If you can't figure it out, I can't help you. This design, you can draw it. You can look at, I'm giving people phone numbers to call me. If they want to call me and ask me to send them, you know, my designs, it's okay. I don't mind. I told people, you want to call? You want to call for prayer? You want to call just to share? You want to call what? Share Christ? That's okay. Why not? The number you can call is 1-925. I'm out here in the land of fruit and nuts, by the way, in a place some people call Californication. And 925-584-5607. 925-584-5607. No, I will not allow you to call long distance and charge it to my phone. It's just not going to happen. But the issue is, if you want to call and you want me to share this stuff with you, I will. Not the show number. That's right. Don't call the show. Call Michael J. Yeah, we have to qualify you. You know, we've got to find out if you're a good guy or a bad guy. And you know, Michael J. knows how to ask good questions, right? Praise God. I mean, the issue is, I am a son of the living God, and he knows exactly who people are. I mean, I've got this captive audience, all these intel agencies listening to everything because they, you know, sold themselves in the sight of the Lord to do evil because they obey wicked people like all the Nazi party obeyed Hitler. And all they were doing was following orders, right? This nation is in the grip of mass murdering wickedness, and you need to find out today, this day, choosing this day who you will serve. God's going to bless his people. But I don't care if the wicked get this design, because once this design gets out there and people see they can build this for themselves with field expedient methods, hallelujah, this thing is scalable. You can make this thing any size. You can make it small. You can make it big. You can make the same size. I want to find somehow get people to start a company or companies with me. I'll help them to set it up with respect to, you know, what I can advise them to do. But the issue is, God is showing me that he wanted me to call this thing the giving machine. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Loving your neighbor as yourself, bearing each other's burdens, giving people the ability to, you know, refrigerate their food so they don't have to live, you know, on dried meat and stuff like that. Giving people the ability to protect their villages from wild animals and snakes and bugs. Giving people the ability to protect their herds, to heat their homes, or to have air conditioning or electric fans or workshops with woodworking or machine shops with power, with your own source of power, praise God, that I'm offering to you. Like I said, you can go to Michael-J.A.Y. Anderson on Fascist Book, and I'm going to post these things up, these designs up on my, profile page. Why? Because God gave me these designs because he knew he was going to use me to give them away. That's why he told me, you don't want a patent, Michael. You want to give it away. And he said, and then he let me call it the giving machine. Now, 540-352-4452. If you want to intelligently let me know why this machine won't work, you know, God will give you the courage if you ask for it. That is, if you know him. But if you want to call me and tell me why this machine won't work, you've got the number, 540-352-4452. If you want to get on the phone and tell me why you see this will work, 540-352-4452. You know, he that seeks to save his life will lose it. Now I've shared it with people. They can't. It's sort of like my wife, she explained to me. She's with the Lord now, but she explained to me that gossip and backbiting is like going up on the top of the hill with a feather pillow and ripping it over open on a windy day and shaking all the feathers. We need to be careful with what we do with our mouth because, you know, backbiting, tail bearing, gossip, whatever. You can't get those words back. I don't mind calling Fauci a mass murdering scumbag. It's the truth. I don't mind exposing the high-level Freemasonic Zionist who signed into public policy law the Noahide laws designed to kill Christians, the same guy who gave us Project Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed. I don't mind shining a light on yellow hair. I've been warning him for years now. But God knows that wicked people surround themselves with censors who won't let them see the warning because they also hate and they don't want to be confronted and they won't tell each other the truth because self-centered people are all about being selfish, narcissistic. I don't want to risk my position by, you know, saying something that will upset the guy I sold myself to serve, even though he is a criminal and a pedophile, a liar, and a Freemasonic Satan worshiper. I don't want to risk my life. Well, the Lord told me how to put my life at risk when I was following orders under UCMJ because Uniform Code of Military Justice, because they said, get on the helicopter. And I did. I wasn't going to disobey orders. Okay? They put me through newbie school and a couple of the outfits that I was in, and hey, the third and fourth outfit I was in, I already knew, and they knew I knew. The reality is, you know, it's a dangerous world, and many people around us are like landmines. You hit their tripwire, they'll betray you in a picosecond. You tell some people the truth, and they will hate you because they are in rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 540-352-4452. My name, my given name is Michael-J-A-Y, Michael J. My family name, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, the son of Andrew. Got under 4 minutes left if you want to call in. Amen. If you don't want to call in, forever hold your peace. I don't care. I'm just giving you an opportunity to confess Christ, to ask questions, to get prayer, to do whatever it is that the Almighty God wants you to do. But if you don't know him, the Word of God says that many people will hear the Lord say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. If you don't know the living God who gave his Son to take away your sins, you're in deep eternal trouble, and your life is like walking on a tissue paper across a chasm, and the only thing that's holding you up is God's sovereignty. The reality is that tissue paper could drop you down into the abyss right now, because he's sovereign, and he might just say, okay, I've given you what you needed, you rejected it, it's over. Like he said to that man, thou fool, this night will your soul be required of you. And then who will all these things belong to that you wanted to store up for yourself? He didn't care about his neighbor. He didn't care about feeding the poor. He wasn't remembering those that were broken. He was rich. And in his heart, he felt he had need of nothing. But he wasn't looking at the people sleeping, you know, in the side of the road, or the people like down in L.A. or San Francisco or Oakland in these tent cities surrounded with garbage, visited with rats, with no ability to get rid of their urine or their feces, no real ability. I mean, yeah, you can go into a disease-infected outhouse that they have down there. That is, unless you're in San Francisco, then you can defecate right on the sidewalk. Hallelujah. see what's happening in these cities controlled by these demonic, Freemasonic, Satan-worshipping people filled with hatred and contempt for others? My name is Michael J. I've given you my phone number if you want to call and get prayer. 925-584-5607. Please leave a message, you know, if I don't pick up. And for me, it's like this. Everybody is going to remember what was revealed to them in their life. Everyone will remember the words that were spoken, the words of encouragement, or the words of warning, or the words of exhortations, or the words that that were speaking death into your life and unbelief. You're going to remember all of these things that we say or we hear. But God is just. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. May God have mercy on this generation. May God have mercy on America and deliver us from evil, because the wicked think they're winning and they're in the grip of a strong delusion because they believe their own lies. Amen.
Bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday.